Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey everybody, it is Carrie Oberbrunner and I have with me my new friend all the way from the UK, Mr. Chris Ducker. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Carrie. Good to be with you.
Well, listen, man, if anybody is in the entrepreneurial conversation, they probably heard the hype a few months ago about your brand new book, Youpreneur. And what is that subtitle, Chris, and why did you choose the subtitle you chose? Because subtitles I love.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. So the subtitle is The Definitive Guide to Becoming the Go-To Leader in Your Industry and Building a Future-Proof Business. So it could be seen as the first paragraph of the book.
That's
all right. It's also the subtitle of the book as well. And the full title of the book is Rise of the Youpreneur. It's a call to action. It's a movement that we're trying to kick off here.
I love it. And let's just jump right in. For the people that don't know this concept, I've read that you kind of coined it. What was it back in 2015, 2014, something like that? How did you coin it? Why did you coin it? And what does it mean?
So this is a good story. We're talking Independence Day, July 4, 2014. I'm in the United States, and I'm at my good friend Pat Flynn's house.
Sure.
The kids are out, so we just had a water balloon fight. Just me and Pat, not the kids, just the two of us. We just had a water balloon fight and, you know, the barbecue thing and all the rest of it. And we made a cup of coffee. And we went to his home office. The kids were drying off and, you know, all that sort of fun stuff. And we just got talking, you know. Now, believe it or not, you know, a lot of people know Pat's name within, you know, the entrepreneurial world, particularly online, obviously. And everybody thinks that, you know, when he and I get together as close as we are, he's the godfather of my daughter, Cassandra.
Wow.
You know, we call each other families, our second family. But understand this, when we're together, we actually don't talk about business all that much. We geek out over Star Wars, or we talk about, you know, how wacky the Philippines is. His mother was actually from Cebu, you know, where we lived for so long, and all these other things. Business does come up, but not as much as you probably might assume that it does.
Sure.
But this particular day, he asked me a question that sparked this conversation, and he said to me, Where do you see yourself being 15 years from now? Now, why this number of 15? I still haven't been able to fathom. Sometimes people will ask you, where do you see yourself this time next year? Or where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Yeah.
15 years. I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years. I have no hair. You have no hair.
We have
clearly, we've both been in this game for a while.
Right?
Or we have the same barber, one or the other. But, you know, with all joking on one side, 15 years is a long time.
Sure.
But when I actually sat down with him and we started talking about the kind of people that we want to work with and work for, the types of work we want to do, the influence we want to have, the change that we want to affect on individuals, it became very apparent to me that I was actually already working with and for these perfect customers of mine, but I wasn't aware of it at the time.
Sure.
It was that conversation that really helped me understand it. And it was people like authors, speakers, podcasters, you know, consultants, coaches, content creators, people that were ultimately building a business based around them, their expertise, and the people that they wanted to serve and sell to. And that's what a youpreneur is. It's a personal brand entrepreneur, not just a personal brand, but a personal brand entrepreneur, somebody that genuinely makes money out of working with the right people for the right reasons and doing the right things. And so that's when the term youpreneur was coined. And I tried, like any good entrepreneur doing
business in the 20th
century, try and get the domain name. It's gone. Somebody's been sitting on it for 10 years. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me here. So I snap up the Twitter ID. I snap up the Facebook ID. I snap up the YouTube ID. And I'm thinking, I've got to get this domain name. I just, yeah. At this point, there's no other name. There's no other word that's going to do the job for me. I'm that serious about it. So I tracked the guy down. His Whois information was private.
Okay.
Couldn't find him on the listing. So I tracked him down via LinkedIn of all places.
Awesome.
And I asked him how much he wanted to sell it to, and he came back to me and said $25,000. I said, you have no email list, you've got no traffic, you've got no content, you are obviously on some sort of pharmaceutical, medication right now, thinking that's happening. So we ended up at a much, 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 much lower rate than that. But I was able to get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. So did you – here's just a weird question. When you contacted him, did you use your real name and therefore he Googled you and said, oh, this guy's loaded. I got to spike it.
Because, I mean, I wish I was loaded. I felt like – and I still feel like there's no room in business for smoke and mirrors.
Oh, that's good.
Right? You've got to be who you are and be you all the time. When I first started creating content online in 2010, I was blogging and podcasting.
Okay.
Right. And I was hiding a little bit. It wasn't for malicious reasons, but I was hiding a little bit because I had a very large company at the time, which at the time I thought was big. It was like 130 employees.
Okay.
Now it's like 450.
Wow.
But at the time I thought that was a lot of people, and I had B2B corporate clients in the US, in the UK, and I'm thinking, well, what if I say something? What if I write something on the blog and it upsets them?
Mm.
What am I going to do? And so I was kind of holding back a little bit. And then I had an injury in 2012, or a reoccurring injury, and I had to have back surgery to fix it. And I was kind of laid up for a while, for 4 or 5 weeks recovering. And it really got me thinking about what I was doing and how I'd been building the business over the businesses, two of them at that point, what I was doing to build them. And I realized that 99.999% of the time, people were doing business with me.
Interesting.
Way before they were doing business with my companies or what we were offering them.
So you are the business.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was the personal brand. I didn't realize that I had one at the time, but I did. And I was making money out of it.
Mm.
And the moment I realized that it was a genuine business model, that's when I put my foot down on the gas. And man, the rest is the rest is a kind of a crazy journey over the last 6 years. Right?
I love it. That little nugget right there, Chris, is unplanned. We didn't plan that. But I think it's so key that you even said, hey, when I contact someone for a domain name, I'm not going to pretend that I'm somebody else. That is my walk away for the day. I've learned something already. Now let's go a little bit deeper. You mentioned the Philippines, I think you did, or I know your history a little bit, and you have this crazy model. You have 400 plus employees in the Philippines. You relocated back to the UK. Give us that journey of like, why? I mean, what happened? Give us the quick story.
Well, in all transparency, I am in the Philippines right now. So you were a little off base at the beginning of the chat there.
You live in the Philippines.
Assuming I was already in the UK. So I'm still in the Philippines right now, but we are moving back to the UK in a few months from now. So if I was to show you this part of my office, you'd see nothing but boxes.
It's all
getting boxed up. This looks very nice behind here. For those watching the video, this is all very nice, but over there is a total mess.
But you're still there. Gotcha.
But I'm not worried at all about leaving we have two businesses here, and I'm not worried about leaving them because the first time I was in the office since September last year was last night, literally.
Wow.
Last night I went in. We were celebrating 10 years of being in business, and I wanted to go in, and I treated everybody to ice cream and cotton candy and all that sugary goodness. and I went in and kind of addressed the troops, before they got on got on, got to work and everything. But that was honestly the first time I was there until from September.
Wow.
Actually, the city. So I'm not, and I'm only 15 minutes drive away.
Wow.
So I'm not worried about being based in the UK. I mean,
sure.
I'm genuinely not worried about it in any way whatsoever. I've got great management in place.
Okay.
I learned a long time ago to get out of my own damn way.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, out of my 15 years as an entrepreneur, it's probably been the number one lesson that I've learned, that I've got to get out of my own way. I think entrepreneurs as a whole have to get out of their own ways. You know, we're wired differently. Our DNA is very strange compared to the normal people in the world. And I really believe, regardless of how you identify with being an entrepreneur, whether you're, you know, a consultant, or you run a big company, or you're an author, or you're a solopreneur of some variety, you know you're wired differently.
Yep.
You know you are deep down. But you also know that you're probably a massive micromanager, or you have been at some point in the past.
Guilty, right?
So yeah, it's so, like, you know, my name's Chris, and I'm micromanager. It's been, you know, 6 years since I micromanaged somebody. You know
right.
what I mean? It's
right.
Like, hey, it really is. And so I think that was really the biggest thing for me, is the moment I got out my own way, started hiring the right people for the right roles, and really focusing in on hiring that management team that now the majority of them have been with me 7 odd years on average, probably. It was everything.
Wow.
It enabled me to do everything that I do now with Upreneur, and I travel and speak and host my own events and do all the fun stuff that I can do. Yet there's still this machine, this money-making machine, client-serving machine in the background that, for all intents and purposes, kind of runs without me.
I love it. So if you're managing and essentially maintaining, then you are not creating and collaborating. And you as an entrepreneur, some of you is dying, if you will. In other words, when you're creating and collaborating, let's talk about the Upreneur Summit as an example. But when you started to create that and collaborate, that what gave you new life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been holding events for a long time. I've been running and organizing them now since 2011.
Okay.
The Upreneur Summit, and by pure coincidence, I'm wearing this T-shirt from last year's event. But the Upreneur Summit was, I don't know, man, it was a very, very weird thing for me, because I'd been away from England for so long, 17 years.
Wow.
And it was always a dream to hold a big event in my hometown of London. And when we very seriously started talking about it, which was probably back in, 2015, we really started to talk about it. And we signed the contract the week before Christmas that year. And I remember signing it thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah.
This is crazy. But we did it. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to go big or I'm going to go home.
Wow.
And so we went real big. We rented the Queen Elizabeth II Convention Center, right opposite Westminster Abbey, where all the royal weddings take place, and where Her Majesty herself was coronated all those years ago. I mean, we're literally, like, it's across the street. That's
wow.
the venue, right?
Wow.
And so Big Ben, just around the corner. Big Ben, 5-minute walk away around the corner. So we went real big on it. And then the fear kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, golly, I need to sell at least 250 tickets to break even. What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get great people involved.
Mm.
I had incredible speaker lineup last year, just as incredible this year, if not maybe more incredible,
wow.
quite frankly. Calling in some favors, you know,
yes.
working with the right friends. You talk about, you know, collaborating and things
sure.
like that. I'm very, very blessed, Carrie. Very,
yeah.
very blessed to have good friends that will go to bat for me and help me out and have a great time at the same time. So everybody wins.
Oh, yeah. So those of us who know the podcast, the Igniting Souls podcast, just you listeners, I want you to realize that Chris had Amy Schmidauer last year as one of the breakout speakers or speakers. And she spoke at our conference for the last 2 years in a row. So there's some collaboration there. Dan Miller speaking at our current event. How are you able to do this, Chris, where you kind of outsiders look at this and say, oh my gosh, you know, Chris knows all these people. He's got a 400-person team in the Philippines. And all I want to do is like escape my 9-to-5, you know, Chris is the pro team. How do you know? What would you tell the person who's like at the very first step? I mean, number one, I'll tell them read his book, because a book is the most.
That's a good tip, Carrie.
Oh, I mean, the book. You know, for those people who've never written a book, it is your best thinking, Chris. I mean, it is. If someone could say, Chris, can I come to Philippines or London and pick your brain? You've just given it to them.
Yeah, pretty much.
For 15 bucks, I mean, or whatever.
My whole deal was that I wanted to write a book that was complete for anybody that wanted to build that, you know, that model of what I call the business of you.
Awesome.
Right? So it's it's three sections: building, marketing, and monetizing your brand, right?
Love it.
So I didn't want to hold it back, you know, everything's in there. Will we update it, expand it at some point? Maybe, yeah, probably, definitely.
Sure.
Particularly in English, for sure. But it was more than just writing a book and putting it out there and helping people. It genuinely is a call to action. You know, it's rise of the entrepreneur. It's time to rise up, fellow youpreneurs, because the world needs what only you can serve up on that silver platter.
Mm.
You know, I don't care what industry you're in, who you're serving, what market you're operating inside of, it doesn't matter. It's all totally, totally, totally irrelevant, because when you build the business of you, it's 100% original. It can't be copied, can't be beaten.
And is it's that, so that is your term, future proof. That's what you mean.
Yep, absolutely.
It's an asset.
It's the last pivot. It's the last pivot you'll ever have to make in your professional career. I'm 100% sure of it. I mean, if you can't hear the enthusiasm in my voice when I say that, then you need your ears testing. I'm 100% sure that this is the last pivot you will ever have to make in your career. You are future-proofing your very existence as an entrepreneur by building that business of you model. I know some people are making $3-5 million on this every year. They're in my community. I talk to them regularly.
Yeah.
But I also know some people that are only making 30, 40, or 50 thousand a year, and they desperately want to serve more. They want to get involved with the right people. They want to do the right things for the right reasons. And they're the people that I really, really enjoy working with.
Awesome. Build, market, monetize. Can you tell us kind of the, because I love table of contents in a book. I'm a nerd like that, because what you're basically saying is, hey guys, I'm Chris, and I'm going to serve you by taking you on a journey, and here's the three signposts that indicate where we're traveling. So you say build, market, monetize. Why is it in that order? Why is there not another step? Why'd you choose those three?
Yeah, so this. I wish it was really this cool that I just came up with it, but you know it's not, right?
You just know
it's not that cool. So basically what happened was September 1, 2015, we opened the doors to the Youpreneur community.
Wow.
It's a membership community. You pay on a monthly basis to be part of it. We had proprietary training and a whole bunch of other stuff in there, right? And it took off like crazy. We had a few hundred people join in the first 6 months. I was super pumped and happy about it. And then I started to see these holes. Some of them were great big gaping gaps in the content that we were providing that we thought was complete, but it clearly wasn't in regards to a number of different aspects of building, you know, that business of you. And so we did, middle of 2016, we did a content audit on our acceleration library, on our training library, and we realized where the holes were. And I mean, right on the other side of this camera, there's a big whiteboard. It's probably about 8 foot across and maybe 5 foot down. And I had a couple of members of my team here in my home office, and we were scribbling all afternoon on what we were going to do to clean this up. And as it as the day kind of progressed, and one of my assistants were kind of moving notes around, and we had post-it notes, and she was rubbing stuff out and rewriting things out, I stood back from it and I looked at the board, and it was so clear to me that there were now three steps in this. And that was when what is now known as the Upano roadmap was born. And I looked at it, and I didn't think Upano roadmap at the time, but I did think, holy cow, that's my next book.
There you go.
And so that's how it was born. That's how we created it.
I love it. So just some takeaways. Number one, you didn't think in isolation. You brought your team around you. That's huge. Oh, yeah. Number two, I got a huge whiteboard right next to me, but there's just something about whiteboarding as opposed to, you know, typing it on your computer. What do you think that is? I don't even know, Chris. I'm not asking you to be a psychologist, but what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's like a magic answer to that question. But for me personally, I like the idea of getting away from the computer screen whenever I have the opportunity to do it. I'm not married to it. I'm a happily married man. I don't need my computer screen. So I like the idea of just mapping it out in front of me and being able to very quickly erase something and replace it with another idea or move it in another direction. You can't do that on a computer. All these, you know, this MindMeister and all these other kind of mind mapping tools, they're too fiddly to mess around with keyboards and mouse. Sure. Just get a pen. Right. People have been planning businesses and revolutions for years with pens. Just get a pen, you know?
It's true. So I hear you saying sometimes we overcomplicate things.
Totally.
As entrepreneurs. Ooh, sometimes
always. So we always overcomplicate things. I don't know why it is that way.
Right.
But, you know, I'm a big believer now that less is very much more in almost every circumstance.
You think maybe some entrepreneurs, all entrepreneurs, maybe trust the tools more than their gut? Maybe that's it. Maybe they, I need the tool, the gadget, rather than just gut.
Maybe it's that, or maybe they see someone that they admire, someone that they, you know, that they look up to using that tool.
Yeah.
And they say, well, hey, if Carrie's using that tool, then you know, he's successful, then I should be using that tool as well.
Sure.
And then they struggle with the tool, and the tool doesn't do anything for them. We realize, you know, or really what they really needed was just a notebook and a pen or a pencil or some post-it notes. I mean, you know.
That's good.
It's different for everyone, I guess. But for me personally, I love being in front of that whiteboard. It's my happy place.
I love it. So the listeners, I mean, there's a lot of lessons going on right now with what Chris is sharing. Number one, he has low entry products. Like you just named a couple of them. I see one behind you, but you have a book. So that's a low end product that people can purchase. Love it. Yep. Love it. And by the way, you had to put your picture on it. I mean, how can you talk about the rise of the youpreneur and put on this little clip art or something? So you were authentic. You owned it.
Well, you know what, though? The funny thing is that we were 50-50 on whether I was going to go on the cover right up until, I'd say, like the last sweep of the internal design. So we actually had a graphic cover, which is horrific. I will never share. and you know, we had the photo shoot done locally in the Philippines.
Okay.
I was in front of the camera for 30 minutes, literally. One photographer, one guy with a roaming light. He did a great job, and it came out great. The photo looked great, and you know, which is hard when it's just me in the photo. Usually, I know, right?
Yeah.
So I was happy with it, and then when they sent through the cover, even though I thought the design of the cover was fine, I was still fit. I was like, you know, is it a little egocentric, a little narcissistic? Sure. I'm not sure, but then I spoke with a lot of people that you and I have as mutual friends, and every single person that I spoke to said, if you don't put yourself on the cover of this book, you are not living the life you are preaching.
Ooh,
like it's you
and her.
Like you've got to do it for that very reason.
Exactly.
To put yourself front and center of the business. And if you don't do it, then, you know, you're kind of a loser if you don't do it. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to be a loser.
Right.
I worked too hard in my life to be a loser. So that's why we ended up with Go and Me on the cover. But it was weird. I remember when we got the first box, and you know what it's like when you get your first box of books from the printers. And I pulled out the first copy. I laughed outrageously for about 5 minutes. I was like, that's mad. I'm on the cover of a book. And people are going to buy it.
That's awesome. Mad. That's awesome.
But they have. They've bought it. There you go.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about publishing, and because this is important. A lot of our listeners are authors. Either they've done a book or they're about to do a book. But there's a couple things you mentioned. Number one, your Amazon reviews are amazing. I went there today. I tried to find a one or a two or even, I think, a three. Maybe there's a three. I don't think there is, though. I could only find fours and fives. So good for you.
It's still early days.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, good for you. I kind of sat back. I watch people's launches because, you know, I love what you do, by the way. You're an entrepreneur, but you have a business. I'm the same way. Like, in a way, you have to have a business too. So I'm a publisher. I watched your launch. You had engagement. I think you used live stream.
A few times. I didn't go over the top with it, but a few times.
A few times. You had a street team? Launch team? So you had a street team, you had a launch team. You were on Dan's podcast as well as many others. Your wonderful team provided me with a digital press kit. I'm saying all these things because our listeners are savvy and they're taking notes right now saying, oh, Chris did that, Chris did that, Chris did that. What's something you wish you would have done, maybe that you didn't do? Is there anything that you can think of in your launch that you're like, huh?
I think that the only thing that I wish I had have done more of, and quite frankly, I just couldn't because of a time constraint more than anything else, but I wish I did more speaking gigs around the launch.
Interesting.
Not necessarily to sell more books, because based on my first book, Virtual Freedom, which was 2014, still yet to get a one-star review. I will add that as well. Thank you. I'm probably testing fate now when I say that.
Yes, exactly.
But we're at like 800 and something five-star reviews on that book.
Wow.
It's incredibly successful. Yeah. I still pinch myself, quite frankly. It's just how well it really did. But when that book came out, I hit it pretty hard. I hit the speaking circuit pretty hard.
Okay.
And I was tired at the end of it, but I also felt like I kind of got it out to the people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there was something about pressing palms and hugging. And
yes.
I'm a big believer that you build businesses and relationships by, you know, hugs, handshakes, and high fives. That's what I always say. And so I did do a handful of gigs around the book launch. But I wish I did maybe another four or five speaking gigs around the launch itself. But you know, the other thing is this, Carrie, and you'll appreciate this, being so central to my own Youpreneur ecosystem, which we talk about in the book in terms of the different ways that you will monetize that brand that you've built up, being so central to that ecosystem. This book was never about the launch. It was never about the sprint. It was always about the marathon.
Wow.
And so, you know, I want to sell 500,000 copies of this thing in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not interested in selling 20,000 copies in a month, hitting the New York Times, you know, bestseller list and disappearing. That doesn't interest me at all.
No, I agree. I agree. A book to me is an asset. It's a business. And that's something we teach religiously, is that how to turn a book into 18 streams of income. So all of our listeners kind of know that concept where, you know, you have a mastermind and right. I mean, you.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I often tell people, look, your book's probably about 12 chapters. Do a mastermind around your book for a year. Each month is a chapter in your book. And yeah, you can monetize that well. Let's talk about why you went self-publishing versus traditional publishing. Was it control? Was it the profits? All the above? Other things? What do you think?
I think it was I think control probably would top the list. Sure. I think profits would be number two. You know, I was your typical greenhorn, first-time author with Virtual Freedom. I got a half-decent
advance
mm-hmm. on it for a first-time author,
sure.
based on the size of my platform,
yeah.
quite frankly. They knew they were going to sell a whole bunch of books, and they did. But... you know, I signed over the audiobook rights. I signed over the international rights. You know, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it took me like 2 years to get the international rights back. And at that point, nobody was interested in the book anymore because it was too old.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff. And, you know, the audio, I'll never forget it. I was on tour speaking about the book. And my publisher's emailing me and they're like, we need to do an audiobook. People are asking for it. And I'm like, well, that's great. You know, as soon as I get back to the Philippines, I'll book out a few days in a recording studio that I know. They're great. They'll hook me up with with everything I need, and we'll rock it out. And someone like, we can't wait till then. You know, we need to do it now. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Get someone else to read my book for me? And what do? They got someone else to read my book.
Oh, man.
And it was horrific.
Oh, this
guy was like a traditionally trained actor.
Yeah.
It was like, Virtual Freedom, how to work with, and I was like, this is not me. This is not how, the way he was reading it was not the way it was written.
Right.
And it was a horrific flop. And so, I mean, we've sold a whole bunch of them,
sure.
but I'm sure people listen to them
and
think
content.
To themselves,
yeah.
what is going on here?
Right.
Is this like a joke? Have I been punked? You know what I
yeah.
mean? So this time around, I wanted that control.
Yep.
I wanted to be able to make the decisions I wanted to make for me
right.
and title my work,
yep.
you know? And again, it's a very, very, very integral part of my own personal brand ecosystem. So having 100% control was absolutely needed, without
Love
a
it.
Doubt.
Love it.
And I mean, you know, you look at the royalty statements and you know you made the right decisions.
Oh, yeah.
It's simple. Yeah.
Yeah, why give somebody else 85%? Of the share when you've done 100% of the work. Are you going to
yeah.
do an audiobook for Rise of
I've already Jupiter? Recorded it. I was in San Diego a few weeks ago. I dropped it down. We did 2 5-hour sessions.
Wow.
Crushed it on both days. You know, the funny thing is this, and for any of the authors tuning in and listening
yeah.
to this, always make sure you record your audiobook. I'm sure that they know this already.
Sure.
Always make sure you do it yourself. But don't forget to listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth when you're recording it. Because at one point in the second day,
yeah.
I was about an hour and a half in, and we came to the end of the chapter, and I said to the engineer, his name was Colin, I said, hey, Colin, I need to take a break for a minute. I want to get a cup of tea. No problem, Chris. And I take the headset off. I put it down on the table in front of me in the booth, and I just think to myself, this is a great book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've written a really good book.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of reaffirmed, because understand I hadn't, you know, we edited
sure.
it seven months ago.
Sure. You
know,
forget
we had to go
it.
Through
yeah.
design and then, you know,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And it was like, I wrote a really, really good book. And it makes you feel good to realize that when you're reading your own
yeah.
book.
You know, and for the hater out there who's hearing this and saying, well, gee, that sounds really arrogant. What's the alternative? I mean, what's the alternative? You know, I wrote my book and it stinks. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I mean, we get this. We
it's
get
not
this.
Worth the paper it's printed.
Right.
Right.
And
exactly.
I mean, but what I'm put it this way: I didn't plan on the interview going like this today. But where I'm
okay.
take, but and I mean that as a compliment. I'm taking notes today. This is like the fourth time I'm hearing the melody line of, you know, whether it's you on your book cover. Right, whether
mm-hmm.
it's you and the domain name with that guy and being
mm-hmm.
really Chris, whether it's you saying my book, I read it and it's actually a good book.
yeah,
you know what you're saying is like authenticity. You have to be you, and if you think your book's good and you say it, like you gotta say that. I mean, what are you gonna say otherwise? And before people believe in you, you got to believe in you. So,
right.
So Chris, that's the lesson I'm taking away today is, and maybe this is, you know, the main point of Youpreneur, but it is that you are the business and you need to be comfortable with who you are, and you need to stop playing to the haters and the crowds and the critics. Would you agree?
I couldn't agree more with you. And I was reminded of that very fact that in London last November at the Upreneur Summit, we just wrapped up. People were leaving the convention center, and this gentleman under the name of Mark from Belgium, traveled in from Belgium. We actually had people from 37 countries come to London to that event. It's incredible. But Mark had traveled in from Belgium, and he's a father of two, happily married guy, and he's been in the financial world for a while, and he's been hustling on the side, trying to build things up on the side of consulting business, doing well, but not quite there yet to the point where he can leave, right? I mean, he's got responsibilities. He's a dad. He's a husband.
Right.
He comes up to me at the end of this event with tears in his eyes. I mean, he's ready one blink and it's, you know, it's River Nile time, right?
Right.
And he comes up to me with tears in his eyes and he says to me, word for word, "Chris, I want you to know that the world gave up on me, but you made me realize that the world needs me more than ever right now."
Wow.
And I was just like, like, I started crying.
Wow.
And
it's
like,
I mean,
it's the emotions of like the end of the event.
Sure.
And I hugged this guy, and we're recording this now, beginning of April, beginning of March, Mark quit his job of 20 years and set up his own consultancy in Belgium.
And he probably never would have done it. I mean, I'm going to go out there on the limb and say he wouldn't have had the courage and the belief of someone backing him like you if you hadn't done that event.
And understand also that I hadn't done it in a super personal way. All I had done was crafted my message and put it in such a concise manner that he understood it in a room full of 375 people, and he got it. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind that it's the right decision for him, because he's been on the fence for years about it, apparently. But now he's jumped and he's ready to go. He's just actually, we just launched tickets for this year's event today.
Yeah.
And one of the first people to buy the ticket I saw come through was his. So he's coming back to London to try and learn what to do in the next segment of his career. We'll find out.
I love it. Well, listen, Chris, you blessed us today with some amazing content. I'm going to encourage everybody who sees this or hears it, the Rise of the Upreneur. I love long subtitles, by the way, because no one ever remembers the subtitle, but it is a buying decision.
If I hold it up, it's a good size subtitle, but it doesn't take over the entire.
It's not too bad.
Cover.
No, it's not too bad.
I mean, my forehead takes over the cover, not the subtitle.
Right. No, it's a great subtitle. It helps with the buying decision because people understand the benefit.
Right.
So, Chris, where can people find out more about you, the Upreneur Summit, all these good things you've talked about?
Well, I mean, you know, my home online is chrisducker.com. I wouldn't be much of a personal brand entrepreneur if I didn't have my own domain name. So chrisducker.com, if they're interested in the book, they can just obviously search for Rise of Upreneur on Amazon.
Sure.
And if they're interested in the live event, it's upreneursummit.com.
.com. Fantastic. Well, listen, you've inspired me. You've given me more permission to be me. That's something that we need reminders of all the time. And thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for having me, man. You're an inspiration. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, build up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.